Good afternoon, honourable members. Good afternoon, honourable minister. Good afternoon, honourable deputy minister.
Afternoon, Chairperson, and afternoon, members.
Good afternoon, national commissioner.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, Deputy Minister. Good afternoon, honourable members. And the minister, I'm not sure whether he has come. Thank you, Chair.
I have been told that the minister will join us. Honourable members, could I first ascertain from Babawa if we have a quorum?
Good day, Chair. We do have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I could then proceed with the meeting. Honourable members, could I have Honourable Tablanche, your hand is up?
Hey, person, yeah, sorry, I just want to convey to you that the Honourable Shembeni battled to got, you know, on the system, and maybe somebody can just maybe assist him, please.
I think I can see Honourable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Shembeni, could you confirm?
Yes, sir. I'm in.
Thank you, Honourable. Thank you, Honourable Shembeni. Before we take the apologies, could I see the agenda, please? The apologies would be included in the agenda. Honourable members, you have the agenda. Are there any changes you'd like to make to the agenda? If not, could I have a proposal for the adoption of the agenda?
Linda Moss agrees.
Linda Moss proposes adoption. Could I have a
Peacock seconds.
Peacock seconds. Thank you very much, honourable members. We'll now deal with the apologies. Babawa, could I have the apologies, please?
I did not receive any apologies, Chair, for today's meeting.
You received an apology from Honorable Molekwa that she will join the meeting late. And we've also received an apology from Honorable Faku. Those were the only apologies which I received. I'm sure that the other members will join us since we did not receive apologies from them. We could now continue. Honourable members, I'll give my input when we deal with the certain items, which includes the terms of reference for the inquiry. I'll give you an explanation then. The first item would then be the reports on the oversight visit to KwaZulu-Natal and the oversight visit to Gauteng. Could I have the oversight visit to KwaZulu-Natal presented for us, please? Honourable members, you have received the oversight visit report. Dr. Kinis, next page, please. Members, if there's anything you'd like to correct, please indicate.
Chairperson?
Navalt?
Chairperson, I don't see my name there.
No.
I attend KZN one.
Honorable Groenewald, how could they do that to you?
He was not there. Groenewald was not there.
Honorable Minister, you do not want me to call you to order. Honourable Minister, Honourable Groenewald was there. Could we please do that correction?
Can I assist Honourable Chair?
Yes, you may.
Well, the person asking said I was not there. Maybe I must remind him it was me who asked the Minister for Police whether he received any intelligence information, that he denied it vehemently. So maybe if he was there, he would remember that the Minister said he received no intelligence package. He or the commissioner?
Honorable Groenewald, I'm going to allow you to speak later. You were indeed in the meeting. So,
thank
Honorable
you,
Groenewald, the correction will be made. My apologies to you for that. Honorable Groenewald, I must say that I missed it, sir, not deliberately or intentionally. We have been busy with quite a number of documents, so I would like to personally apologize to you for that.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair, and apology accepted, no problem.
Thank you. Could we continue, please? Dr. Kinnis, could you scroll down, please?
Babalwa has got the...
Babalwa, could you assist us, please? Thank you, Dr. Kinnis. Babalwa, are we waiting for you?
Chair.
Sorry, Honourable Whitfield, you have your hand up.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. It goes back to the length of the Minister's briefing and the concluding remarks there about the committee. I am, you know, obviously in the absence of a formal program ahead of time, the committee deliberated at length on the presentations by SAPS and the Defence Force, but what's not clear in the concluding remarks in the report regarding the adjournment of the meeting is whether the chairperson of the committee went on to the oversight. It appears to say that most of the members went to the airport. In fact, all of the members went to the airport except the chairperson. And then it sort of infers that the chairperson went on to do the oversight, or did the chairperson go back to the airport as well? Thank you.
Could we see that closing, the conclusion, please?
It's further up.
No, this is on the KZN visit.
Chair, Babalwa must go to page 8. She must be on page 8.
Page 8, please, Babalwa. Could you please follow the discussion? The committee members insisted on asking questions to the Minister of Police and the senior management of South African Police Services. This led to the extension of the meeting that lasted for over 5 hours. And in essence prevented the committee from proceeding to the planned sites for the visit. Most of the committee members left the venue and departed to the airport except the chairperson. I did indeed sit in the venue and waited. You decided to leave to the airport. Dr. Groenewald gave an apology. I'm subsequently assisting Honorable Peacock that she apologized. The rest of the members left. I indeed sat and waited before I departed. It was very clear that you were not going to return. What was I supposed to do? I then left.
Just a clarity, Chair.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Whitfield.
Chair, I recall members came up to you and indicated that they would be departing so as not to miss their flights. What's not clear is whether the chairperson
also came to the airport or went to the separate venue where the oversight was to take place or stayed at the police station. Which venue did you go to, Chair?
Honourable Whitfield, I could not do the oversight visit on my own. Oversight visit is not conducted by the chairperson, but by the committee. I waited in the venue. You left.
We told you we were leaving, chairperson. We explained the reasons. And so, you know, it would be prejudicial to members who informed you of their reasons to say that they didn't apologize, with the greatest of respect.
The minutes do not include who apologized. The minutes say, and the report says, that the 5 hours meeting prevented us from having and proceeding to our planned sites for the visit. Most of the committee members left, which is true.
You indicated apologies, that there were only two apologies. I'm indicating that there were more. That's all.
Honourable Shembeni, you had your hand up.
Yes, Chair. I remember us talking to you, Chairperson, before we left. You came to us there. And then we all argued that time was against us. It was not on our side. And that was the reason that everybody had to leave, because the chairperson said that we were going to pay for our own transport or our own accommodation and everything. This was not properly discussed, even there was anything wrong by the meeting being taken long, which was chaired by the chairperson of the portfolio committee. After that, the chairperson has seen that the meeting has taken so long, and the minister advised that we cannot go there for an hour or less. And then it was the reason that we could not go to the oversight, or that there was any new arrangements made for either a flight or whatever, because this, you could see that we were supposed to be there for 2 to 3 days, but the chairperson did not come up with that. The chairperson only insisted that we, as members of the committee, we took long. No, that's not the case. We did not take even 30 minutes to ask questions. There were people in the meeting of which we did not know that they would be invited when we spoke a day before that we were going to have a meeting. That there will be so many people in the meeting, we were not aware. Even that the minister will be there, we were not aware. But now it seems as if we, the members of the committee, we took long in asking questions. No, I deny that. We did not. So, meaning what happened in that committee, if something was wrong, we, all of us as the members of the committee, must take the responsibility. Not that the chairperson must be exempted. No, I disagree with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Shembeni. Honourable Kunava.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think we must get some perspective on this matter. Firstly, I want to say that it is important that members get a, can I say, a informative and a thorough briefing when they do an oversight visit. Now, I've looked at the recommendations in this report, and I am of the opinion that one day for KZN was not enough. You must, and the honourable members must remember, we did not have a meeting before the time where we would could receive a briefing on what is happening there. And I think there are some, can I say, matters that had an influence. Firstly, the fact that we received a briefing together with the Defence Committee, and people asked questions. Now, and I want to put it on record. When we receive answers, sometimes it's very long answers, which I don't always think is relevant to the question. And by that, we're running out of time. I sat there. And you can remember that there was a question whether we, and the program was actually that we would visit Phoenix. And then the minister said, well, it will, he can't tell us, but he advises us not only to visit Phoenix, because it can cause further, can I say, perceptions and racialism and everything with that. The fact of the matter, and I said it there, there was no use then to go and visit the community, because we will not be able to obtain or to ensure that we get back to the airport and all the arrangements as far as transport is concerned. And that will, and that would have led to disrespect towards the community. You can't arrive there, have 30 minutes to say, thank you, we've seen you, we have heard what you said, and then say goodbye. If you visit the community, you must listen to the people. In fact, I would say that we should have visited for the whole day only two communities to hear what the problems are. And I am also of the opinion visiting malls that has been destroyed is one issue. Yes, you can go and see for yourself. But thanks to the media and the journalists, we've seen all the destruction. Therefore, Chairperson, we must see this matter in the correct perspective. I've seen the media reports and statements and said that we've wasted the taxpayers' money. Now, I want to say on this specific matter, and I would ask the committee that be included in the recommendations, that when oversight visits are taking place, that there is a thorough planning to ensure that there is enough time to be ensured that we look after the interests of the communities. And therefore, Chairperson, I feel very strongly about it, and that in future, when we do oversight visits, that we ensure that we have enough time for a briefing as well as visiting the communities, but to give them the fair share of our time to show to them that we do see them as important. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Groenewald, for your perspective, and thank you very much for substantial matters which you have raised. The substantial matters are what we are concerned about, and those substantial matters I take into serious consideration. We'll arrange an additional oversight visit to Durban and KwaZulu-Natal, as members had requested that they do not only want to do Durban, that they'd also like to cover other areas. Honorable members, could you please understand that if you give me certain times in which you are available, I have to act accordingly. If the house chair gives us 2 days, then that is where I'm allocated. So it makes it extremely difficult if you all want a particular program and you all want and demand certain programs from the chair, when in fact I receive permission and I have to apply to the house chair and to the chief whip if such meetings and oversight visits are to occur. So Honorable Sheikh Imam, I'm going to take you as the last speaker. We will continue and have another session in KwaZulu-Natal, which will include Durban as the budget permits and as the chief whip and the national chairperson, the chair of chairs, allows us to do an additional visit or a further visit to KwaZulu-Natal. Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Chairperson, sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think to some extent I have been covered, but let me just reiterate a few points, Chairperson. Number one, it is not possible to want to live in the north, start and going into the west to go and have a meeting in the morning, a joint meeting with so many committees and so many people asking questions and getting responses, then expecting to go to Umlazi, then expecting to go through to Phoenix in 1 day, and then also expecting to be at the airport at 4 o'clock to fly out to Johannesburg, it's not possible, Chairperson. I do agree with you. I think the planning is poor. We should not have chosen to go to Durban and Johannesburg simultaneously. In 2 days, it's just not possible. Let us be honest about it. Now, the issue on the day in question, we started those meetings about 9:30 in Chatsworth at the police college in any event. And then having so many different members asking questions, and I agree with my colleagues, some of the responses belong. In fact, I don't even think we were supposed to be meeting the minister. We didn't know the minister's coming. Okay? And when the minister came there and with his responses, and also minister interfering in our process as to where we were going to go, that also created a problem. There's no doubt about it. Now, with the limited budget that was allocated to you, members were also afraid because now they were told you're going to have to live at their own cost. You are, because it was not budget for, and I can understand. So, and in any event, Chairperson, if we left even at 1 o'clock to go through to Phoenix, we would have ended up in this place almost at 2 o'clock. And taking the seriousness, Chairperson, of what has happened in those communities, okay, we would never have been able to conclude and be at the airport even at 4 o'clock. So that is generally what the problem. I don't think it should be an indictment on any of the members, including the chairperson of the committee. You know, when people, when parliament is budgeting and allowing us this, they must be mindful of what our responsibility and what we want to achieve. So just giving us, for the sake of giving us a budget to go to Durban one day and Joburg, not understanding the geographical area that we need to cover and the seriousness, that already is what actually created the problem. Now remember, we thought we were going to Phoenix, not because we were going to see the Phoenix committee. We thought we were going to meet committees from both sides, but because of logistical arrangements, a premises was found in Phoenix. But when the minister changed our direction and said, you must go there and don't go there, and fortunately, we didn't go there too, because if you went there and didn't go this side, then too, it would have been a problem. So I think, Chairperson, that what we need to do is that when we have a program of oversight to be conducted, I think we need to engage and deliberate on it. Let's look at the logistics. Can we achieve that? Can we not achieve it? Because that's where the problem is. And let us be honest, Chairperson, out of our experience, even in the portfolio committee, whenever the department comes, you know the amount of time, Chairperson, we take in just asking questions. Yeah, we had other, select committee was there, the defense committee, so it made it very difficult. So my personal view is this, nobody should be held responsible under the circumstances. We wanted it to be different. The time did not permit, the resources did not permit it. And unfortunately, yes, the next time, it's a learning exercise. I think that we should work together and try and deliberate on the program so that we will know. When I heard, Chairperson, that you living in Umhlanga, you then need to go to Westville in the west, then you need to go to Chatsworth, or Chatsworth, then to Westville, then to Umhlanga, then to Phoenix. Honorable, if you speak to Dr. Kenneth, I told him it's not possible.
Honorable Sheikh Imam, could you conclude, please? We have a long agenda, and then you'll again blame the Chairperson for not getting to all your points. If I stop you from speaking, you're angry. If you do not receive all your responses, you're angry. If the meeting goes on too long, you're angry. So could you allow me to chair this meeting? That is the last speaker. We'll go back to Durban and Pietermaritzburg. The House Chairperson has now agreed that we need more time and that we need a better budget. We'll plan accordingly. When we do discuss the inquiry, you'll realize that we would need more time to do the inquiry, and that inquiry will have to take us to a number of communities in KwaZulu-Natal. I'm now going to Honorable Tablanche. I'm not going to take your hand. If I take too many hands and the meeting continues too long, you are also complaining. So that takes care of the business. If you do not want to approve the report, you can say so. As far as I'm concerned, if I have an approval, could we have a proposal for the adoption of the report, please?
Hey, person, can I just say something, please?
Honorable Blanche, I said that was the last speaker on the matter. Do I have a proposal for the adoption of the report? If there's no proposal for...
Hello, Chair. Hello, Chair.
Yes.
Oh, it's Peacock. I'm proposing for the adoption of that. I'm proposing for the adoption of the report.
A proposal is Peacock. Do I have a seconder?
Chair, I move with the adoption.
No, Patrine seconds the report. Your objections will be noted, and those who do not or reserve their rights will be noted. Do you reserve your rights? Yes. Who else?
Chairperson, I also reserve, and so I want to place it on record as I think that if the report is wrong.
Your rights will be reserved and your objections will be noted. Any further objections? Groenewald, do you still have your hand up? Honorable Groenewald?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've asked whether we should consider at recommendations. We can make it a general recommendation. If we can put in that recommendation to say that future oversight visits should be well planned to ensure ample time, then I will adopt it. But at this moment, as it stands, it does not, as far as I'm concerned, reflect the real situation as far as the KZN issue is concerned. So I was with the KZN delegation. I was not in Gauteng. But so I want to know, are we going to put in the recommendation or not?
Honorable Groenewald, I agree that your recommendation be included. That would be important for our next visit, and our next visit to KwaZulu-Natal will happen in the immediate future.
Okay, right. Thank you, Chair.
Were those corrections adopted?
Right, right. Thank you. I've
noted that Honorable Whitfield has reserved his rights. Thank you very much. The report is adopted. Could we go to the Gauteng report, please? The report is presented to the meeting for consideration. Do you have any objections, comments which you would like to make? I do not have any hands. Do I have a proposal for the adoption?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Peacock.
Peacock proposed for the adoption of the report.
Peacock proposes adoption. Do I have a seconder?
A second, sir.
Honorable Patrine seconds. Do you have any reservation? Reserve your right.
Chairperson, unfortunately, I cannot put up my hand here now. But yes, I do object, and I also reserve my rights.
So Blanche reserves his rights. Any further members?
Chairman, I reserve my
rights. Benny reserves his rights. Anyone else? Thank you very much. The report is adopted. Honorable members, that takes us to the next item, which is the terms of reference for the inquiry. On the 27th of July, I received a letter from the House Chairperson, Honorable Frolic, instructed me to call an inquiry into the recent visits we have had and the violence in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. He had indicated that for Parliament to have a complete picture of the reasons for the unrest and the consequences thereof, we needed a comprehensive response by Parliament. He had further indicated in his letter that this could only be done by means of a thorough inquiry led by the Portfolio Committee on Police, and then he indicates in his letter that other relevant committees in the peace and stability cluster from both houses had to be included. Such a meeting was called. Before the meeting occurred, the political application was sent to the Honorable Frolic indicating the different committees which would be invited. It was approved by Honorable Frolic. It was also approved by Honorable Chief Whip Pemi Majodina. And we have the records of that approval, which if members would like those records could be made available to you. Unfortunately, the perception was created that no such permission was granted for that meeting. I further subsequently, on the 10th of August, received a letter from the House Chairperson that as per decision of the Multinational Assembly Programming Committee, the meeting was held on the 5th of August. The Portfolio Committee on Police was hereby informed to conduct an inquiry into the events prior, during and after the insurrection in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. The Portfolio Committee, could you please mute your mics? Christian Duplessis, could you please mute your mic? The Portfolio Committee, I'm repeating. Have you muted your mic? Thank you very much. The Portfolio Committee must focus and deal with the matters within its mandate and oversight responsibilities. The committee must be guided by National Assembly Rule 167 and National Assembly Rule 227 in doing its work. A new joint committee will not be established. We agreed that with the NCOP, that the Select Committee on Justice and Security will collaborate and work with the Portfolio Committee on Police, and that the Joint Rules of Parliament, Joint Rule 147, allows for such collaboration. The committee must determine the terms of reference and that the committee must determine the terms of reference for the inquiry. The resources needed, once very good, the resources needed and the envisaged timeframes to complete its work. In this regard, a senior legal advisor has already been assigned by legal services to assist the committee. An update on the program of inquiry and related matters was sent to the House Chairperson and the Speaker, and then the Acting Speaker, and the WIP, the Secretary to the National Assembly, also received our program. From the above two and the previous, as I mentioned, the two letters received from the House Chairperson, it is very clear that the Portfolio Committee on Police will lead the inquiry into the violence of the violence in KwaZulu-Natal and the violence in Gauteng. We have drafted the terms of reference for the inquiry. The draft terms of reference will be put to you today. You will be given an opportunity to give your inputs. I'll only deal with inputs for the next half an hour. Thereafter, we'll continue with the next business of today. Exactly half an hour you'll be given. Your inputs will then be taken on board. Those of you who are unable or not happy with the inputs that or the time allocated for inputs, you will be given an opportunity to send your inputs in writing to Dr. Tinnis, and those inputs will be considered and brought to you in the next portfolio committee. So the terms of reference are not for adoption today. You will then give your inputs. You have half an hour to give your inputs now. I'll take your hands. Could you give your hands, please? Kindly, please do not engage me through the opportunity. Through the chat group, please raise your hands and you'll be given an opportunity to speak. Honorable Whitfield.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm just a little bit unclear. I think that the intention to convene that multi-committee meeting on, I think it was the 29th of July, from what you've explained, your intentions were good. They were informed by the instruction from the House Chairperson. That seems to now have changed. It now appears clear that the Police Portfolio Committee will lead the inquiry and that we may collaborate with the NCOP, but it's not clear to what extent we are expected or permitted to collaborate with other committees in the National Assembly. So my first question would be, is that permissible? Are we permitted to collaborate with other committees in the National Assembly? Secondly, are we permitted to call to the committee any other departments or ministries? So for example, if we need the Department of Defense, or we need intelligence to provide insights to the inquiry. Is that also permitted in terms of the rules? And then I would imagine.
Honorable Whitfield, we have half an hour to make comments. Thank
my
you.
Last,
I'll take the next. The,
my last point.
No, thank you very much. The House Chairperson has indicated that the inquiry into insurrection will not take the form of a new joint committee, and a new joint committee will not be established. So we are, whatever you have said, who will be invited will be included in the terms of reference. So a joint committee will not be established. It will then be in the form of the police committee running the investigation. You will indicate who you would like to invite to the inquiry. Honorable Mapatso.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think I would want to agree with the proposal that we need time just to study again in these terms of reference, so that when we finally adopt them, we really understand what we are adopting. We therefore want to move that today we don't adopt the terms of reference. We will adopt them at your earliest time when you convene the portfolio committee meeting, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mapatso. Honorable members, I have noted the hands of Shembeni, Groenewald and Sheikh Imam. I'm asking and respectfully requesting that we look at the terms of reference as the first draft that was sent to you. Unless you do not want to see the terms of reference now and you believe that your questions are not included in the draft terms of reference, I'll give you an opportunity to speak. Honorable Shembeni, is there anything that you'd like to raise which is not in the draft terms of reference?
No, Chair, thank you. I wanted to ask you, because I mean of an application of that meeting that was cancelled, that was in the said paper, that now of late the meeting was unconstitutional. How was it agreed upon, and how was it on the paper? Was it not that fruitful expenditure that we are talking about now? Thank you.
Honorable Shembeni, that joint meeting which was called had the approval of the House Chairperson and had the approval of the Chief Whip. That meeting was on the Z list. There was nothing unconstitutional or legal about the meeting. It was on the Z list. All those members or parties who were invited and the different committees who were invited, those committees were indicated on the political application. Before any meeting, a political application is sent to the House Chair. Any meeting which is called by Parliament needs the approval of the House Chair and the Chief Whip and needs to be on the Z list. If you followed your documents correctly, you would have realized that that meeting was on the Z list. Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to have the assurance that the way I understood it at one stage, that there should be a resolution. Yes, you referred to the Z list and the publication thereof. But my question is, are we sure? And in terms of the law advisors, parliamentary law advisors, and I know the powers of the committee to investigate, but I want to know whether we are 100% sure that we don't need a specific resolution to be adopted in the National Assembly to continue within our powers for such an investigation. If I look at the terms of reference, it's wide. I think it covers quite the scope. but I just want to make sure about the fact that we don't need and whether we need a resolution to be adopted in the National Assembly. Thank you, Chair. Sorry, can I say, especially with the fact that we also have the Select Committee for Security from the NCLP that combined with this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Groenewald. The letter of, and I will ask that this letter be distributed to all. I act upon the letter, which is an instruction from the House Chairperson of Committees and Oversight and ICT. He then gives us the joint rules of Parliament. He says that we have to work in collaboration between both houses. So that does not mean that the NCOP, the Select Committee, has to be in each meeting. We have to work in collaboration. The two, could we now, please, after Sheikh Imam, could we start with the terms of reference presentation? And because after the terms of reference presentation, you would want another round of questions. I am convinced that you would want another round of questions. And as I said, we are going to be very strict about time. You are not going to be allowed to just speak as long as you wish. I'll give Sheikh Imam the last opportunity. Honorable Whitfield, you've already had an opportunity. Honorable Sheikh Imam, you could speak now.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, first of all, I'm just concerned. This is just my comment. The first one is a comment on the objectivity of just the police committee conducting this inquiry. That's my comment. But more importantly, I would think that the instructions that we received from the House Chair, it seems to be vague when it says that you need to work in collaboration with the committee on the NCOP. It's not saying too much, because if we're going to schedule and if we're going to work in collaboration with them, it could be interpreted as if that we have to have joint meetings with them, joint oversight with them, and whatever it is, or not, I don't know, but I find that it is a bit vague. The issue of a resolution of the House, that is what I know came up previously, so now I see that this has been changed. But Chair, having said all that, I think my main concern is this, that if we're going to conduct this oversight, I mean this inquiry, with time constraints, and I know that it does not seem to be a time frame in which to do it, but if we're going to be restricted in terms of the questions you're going to ask, the way we're going to approach these things and things, then the question that I need to ask is, are we going to do justice to this inquiry? Because this is just not a minor inquiry, it's a major one. There's a serious implications. There are very other departments that are implicated in this as well. A lot of work needs to be done. So I'm a little bit concerned about, if we're going to be restricted to 20 minutes and 30 minutes for this and that, and we're not going to be able to understand correctly our responsibilities and do justice into the questioning and getting the responsible and follow-up, then I'm not sure whether we're going to be ready to be doing justice, and that's what my concern is. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Sheikh Imam, that is exactly why I say, could we take the presentation on the terms of reference? The reason why I'm not rushing through with the terms of reference today, and I'm not rushing through the approval of the terms of reference, is precisely to give you an opportunity to shape those terms of reference. The terms of reference should indicate who you're going to call. The House Chair said that we need to present them with the time frames to complete its work. We were not given the precise time in which we should complete this work, and that we should be stipulating in the terms of reference. The resources needed, the committee must determine the terms of reference for the inquiry. It is then upon this, the responsibility of this committee to look at the terms of reference, to look at the resources needed, and to look at the envisaged time frames to complete its work. I hope that gives you some clarity. I'll now ask Dr. Kinnis to do the presentation on the terms of reference, please. Dr. Kinnis, could we also look at whether there should be a resolution in the House to adopt the process of the inquiry or the request for the inquiry. Adopt,
thank you,
do the presentation now. If your presentation does not give us a response on the adoption of or a motion in the House, could you indicate that we have been given a legal advisor? I do not know if the legal advisor is in the meeting. You could also indicate if the legal advisor would like to comment. You may start now, Dr. Kinnis.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, honorable members. If I can get permission to share my screen, then I can put up the presentation. Babawa, if you give me permission to, or if you can put up the presentation, then I can do so. Chair, while we're waiting for that, we previously did receive a legal opinion from the senior legal advisor on the House resolution, which was tabled in that meeting that was held in July. I would have to now go back to speak with him, because subsequent to that meeting, we've now received the second letter with that particular instruction, which we've tried to weave into this particular presentation. So if I just can get the permission, I can then share my screen. Can members see my screen? Chairperson,
is yes. My screen? Yes.
Okay, Chair. Chair, we've pulled together a draft. This is the staff of both committees. We got together and we looked at this, and we made the following presentation. Let me just put this out of the way. This presentation will look at the introduction, the background. It will look at the regulatory framework for us to do the work. We will look at the 227C of the NA rules and the rules for the NCOP. We will look at the committees forming part of the inquiry, and then obviously the members will shape the terms of reference. We look at the procedure and then the public participation, and nine is the other logistics. Chair, we did receive the letters from the House Chair directing the Police Portfolio Committee to conduct the inquiry. One was on the 27th of July and the other one was on the 10th of August. Members will probably receive copies of those two letters. It said that the Portfolio Committee must focus and deal with matters within its mandate and oversee responsibilities. We should be guided by the NA Rule 167 and NA Rule 227C in doing our work. The Select Committee on Security and Justice should be part, and we should collaborate with the Committee on Security and Justice. And then we've indicated that Parliament's Joint Rule 147 allows for collaboration between both houses, and therefore a new joint committee would not be established according to the letter from Mr. Frolic. It did say that the committee must determine the terms of reference for the inquiry and the resources needed and the envisaged timeframes to complete its work. In this regard, we've already had the services of the senior legal advisor. He is not in this meeting, Chairperson, but we certainly do have access to him. The background is, on the 10th of July, widespread looting erupted in KwaZulu-Natal province, which soon spread to the Gauteng province. The N3 National Highway that linked Durban to Johannesburg was blockaded on that date, and it led to over 30 trucks being burnt, and then subsequently paved the way for further violence and looting and destruction. The estimates of the cost of violence in KZN economy ranged variously from 20 billion to 50 billion, with over 40,000 businesses affected. And between 9 and 19 July, 219 people in KZN were killed in the violence and mayhem. And that figure has increased with the latest figures that show 337 people have died as a result of violence. If members remember, the SAPS provided us with the statistics in the presentation they made to the committee. We looked at the regulatory framework. Chair, in terms of the constitution, the National Assembly or any of its committees may summon any person to appear before it or to give evidence on oath or affirmation or to produce documents, to require any person or institution to report to it, and then see to compel in terms of the national legislation or the rules and orders any person or institution to comply with the summons or requirement in terms of paragraph A or B. C and D is to receive petitions, representations, or submissions from any interest persons or institutions. And then we've looked at the powers, privileges and immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act, number 4 of 2004. Section 14 of the Act empowers Parliament or its committees to summon any person to appear before it to give evidence on oath or affirmation or to produce a document. Section 17 of the Act creates an offence for failure to appear without sufficient cause before Parliament or committee once so summoned. And then Rule 227, one states that a portfolio committee A must deal with bills and other matters falling within in its portfolio, as I refer to it in terms of the constitution, legislation, the rules and the joint rules, or by resolution of the National Assembly. B must maintain oversight of one, the exercise within its portfolio of national executive authority, including the implementation of legislation. Two, any executive organ of state falling within its portfolio. Three, any constitutional institution falling within its portfolio. And four, any other body or institution in respect of which oversight was assigned to it. Rule 227C states that the committee may monitor, investigate, inquire into, and make recommendations concerning any such executive organ of state, constitutional, or any other body or institution, including the legislative program, budget, rationalization, restructuring, functioning, organization, structure, staff, and policies of such organ of state, institution, or any other body or institution. Chairperson, the rules of the NCOP, Rule 151, establishes select committees in terms of Section 70 of the Constitution. Rule 151 of the joint of the rules of the NCOP, point one, states that the rules committee must establish select committees to deal with legislation, oversight, and other matters concerning the affairs of government. Two, any number of divisions of affairs of government may be clustered under any single select committee, as the rules committee may determine. The powers of the NCOP in terms of section 69 of the Constitution states, in terms of providing evidence or information before the National Council, the National Council of Province or any of its committees may A, summon any person to appear before it to give evidence on oath or affirmation, B, require any institution or person to report to it, C, compel in terms of the national legislation or rules and orders any person or institution to comply with the summons or requirement in terms of paragraph A or B, or to produce documents. D, to receive petitions, representations or submissions from any other interested persons or institutions. The two committees that will form part of the inquiry, even though it's not a joint committee, but it's going to work in collaboration, is the Portfolio Committee on Police and the Select Committee on Justice and Security. Chair, I just want to make a note that this is where members must have a look at the proposed terms of reference. It remains draft. This is what the staff had come up with after a consultation with the chairperson and the other committee. One, the committee will inquire into, report on, and make recommendations concerning the following. One, establish and consider what relevant information and intelligence was available to the security agencies prior to, during, and after the violence. Two, establish and consider how the violence unfolded and was allowed to spread despite the presence of security agencies. Three, establish and consider how police officers in both the Metro Police and the SAPS made themselves guilty of participating in the looting and the consequent management for such officers. Four, establish what resources, equipment, and staff were available prior to and during the unrest and the challenges experienced in addressing the unrest. Five, establish what consequence management has been put in place and the lessons learned moving forward. Six, establish what leadership was given to all law enforcement agencies during the unfolding of the violence. Seven, examine the documents and electronic material made available to the committee to verify the statements made.
Byvoorbeeld die algemene kantrein op 'n gewone Zoom nie.
Sorry, Chi.
Mr. Costens, you are interrupting my meeting.
Let me repeat. examine the documents and electronic material made available to the committee to verify the statements made during the said committee meetings. 8, establish and consider whether the relevant statements were made in compliance with the National Instruction 156. 9, establish and consider whether the relevant conduct by the officers is in line with good governance principles. 10, establish and consider whether the violence was organized and what the role of the instigators and perpetrators were, what happened to them, and whether they have been arrested and are being charged. Number 11, establish the levels of cooperation between law enforcement agencies and the challenges experienced in respect of cooperation before, during, and after the unrest. 12, establish the impact of the unrest on communities. 13, make available its report to the National Assembly and the National Council on Provinces. Chairperson, we looked at the proposed procedure. The inquiry will be conducted as follows. The committee will invite all the identified persons to appear before it and to answer oral questions relating to the subject matter of the inquiry. At this stage, we have not finalized all the parties that should be invited. We did indicate that that's up to the committee to make proposals who the people are that should be called. We have an idea, but it should be within the purview of the committee members. And we did say that if the list is exhaustive, we can break it up into oral evidence and ask people to provide written reports, which the committee can then use to interrogate. In the event that an invited witness refuses to avail him or herself as requested, the committee may use its power of subpoena as provided for in Section 14 of the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act 2004. All persons will be invited to submit an affidavit or any evidence prior to the commencement of the evidence. Members will be provided with copies of all statements and evidence received. Here's the interesting change in this inquiry, Chair. The process will be member-led, and all members will be given an opportunity to pose questions to witnesses. Unlike the SABC hearing where we had a lead of evidence, we will not have a lead of evidence that will lead this particular inquiry. It must be member-led, and we've proposed that be so. In the event that members are of the view that a certain witness be recalled for purposes of answering any further questions, it may do so by resolution. In the event that the committee resolves to pose further questions, it will agree on whether such questions should be posed in writing or whether the identified witnesses will be invited to respond orally. All witnesses, whether attending voluntary or not, will be requested to take an oath or affirmation in accordance with the provisions of NA Rule 168, read together with Section 16 of the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act 2004. It's important to note, Chair, that the committee is not a judicial tribunal or court of law, and according to the process will be conducted according to the rules of the National Assembly and the joint rules, and the NCOP rules. This means that no witness or third party will be allowed to cross-examine any other witnesses. Prior to the report of the committee being adopted and tabled, affected persons will be provided with an opportunity to make representations on the findings and recommendations in line with the Audi Alteram Partem principle of natural justice. These representations must be considered by the committee prior to the adoption of the report. Again, for public participation, Section 59 of the Constitution creates an obligation on the National Assembly to facilitate public involvement in its committee processes. Whilst the rules do not dictate the manner in which public participation must be conducted, it is necessary that a reasonable opportunity is afforded to members of the public and all interested parties to be informed of the work of the inquiry and to have an adequate say. Meetings of the committee will, subject to Section 59(2) of the Constitution, accordingly be conducted in the open and, wherever possible, broadcast on Parliament TV. Documents subject to Section 59(2) relates to the work of the committee, including all evidence before the committee, must be available to the public. The committee must determine the manner in which it will facilitate public participation, which may include one or more of the following: invitation for personal, sorry, invitation for written participation, oral submissions that can take, and or targeted invitations for written or oral submissions to interested parties. Chair. The other logistics that all meetings will be held virtually. The proposed date for the adoption of the terms of reference, which, well, we thought would be today, and will be processed on the 24th of August to mid-September 2021. Now, in view of the change, this will obviously be pushed back until next week on the 24th, which hopefully will be the adoption. And then a dedicated team of officials, including committee secretaries and assistants, researcher, content advisors, legal advisors will support the committee under the direction of the chair. That is the presentation, Chair. Questions? Thank you.
Dr. Kinnis, I am chairing the meeting, so please don't ask the members if they will take questions.
Except, Chair. I apologize.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, we have done quite a bit of work on the terms of reference. You would have seen through the presentation that the substantial matters have been covered in the presentation. I reiterate, I'm not going to take a long discussion on this. You are expected to engage in writing with this terms of reference. If there are areas which you feel have not been well covered, we have indicated that those stakeholders who should be invited will be further detailed through what you give us. So whatever information is provided by the honorable members of the committee will be considered before this report is adopted. So the terms of reference will not be adopted today to allow you to give all your inputs. I think that this gives you an indication that we do not require a long debate on this matter. I've noted the hand on Sheikh Imam, Whitfield, and then Groenewald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, there's still, I don't get clarity on the involvement of the select committee, whether it's going to be a joint committee, because I'm told it's only the portfolio committee working in collaboration with them. I need to understand that so that we'll know how the composition of this committee and how we're going to work together, whether the inquiries are going to be conducted together. So can we please get some clarity on that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Sheikh Imam, I repeated, and I really repeated the fact that a new joint committee will not be established. Could you please understand that the House Chairperson made and wants to have the letter. I indicated this to you and I repeated it, and I hope you will accept it now, that the new joint committee will not be established, and that this inquiry will be done in collaboration. It allows for collaboration between both houses, and therefore a new joint committee will not be established. Honorable Whitfield.
Chairperson, can I just come in for a follow-up there, Chairperson?
Honorable Sheikh Imam, I gave you an opportunity. I did not ask for follow-ups. I asked for Honorable Whitfield to speak, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, if you could just outline for the members the process going forward in terms of by when you would like to receive our written submissions, and then what guarantees we will have that if we indicate participants to come forward as witnesses or to testify, whether they will be decided by you or the committee as a whole. Thank you.
Honorable Whitfield, the terms of reference obviously could not be adopted today without your input. Once I've received your input, if you agree, I did not want to stipulate the time for your input. The proposed time for your input would be Friday. If you think that this time would be inadequate, I will take my direction from the committee for the closing date for the submissions from the members. Please remember that this would only be submissions from members. The public would not be allowed to give us submissions on the terms of reference, but when they are called, they will then be given an opportunity to make presentations to the committee. So when we do bring this back, upon your advice, Honorable Whitfield and the rest of the members of the committee, we'll then be able to indicate when the when you'll be allowed to complete this process of the terms of reference, and what would then be the next date for me to present the terms of reference. I would also request that members do read their documents. So another draft, the second draft, will be sent to you. So if you give us your inputs by Friday, we'll work that into our second draft. The second draft will be sent to you, and before it is brought to the committee for approval, you will again have an opportunity to comment on the terms of reference. Honorable members, the terms of reference will be very important because it will direct this committee on how we conduct the inquiry and what we'll be doing, the processes we'll be following, and the detail of what would be expected from us as members and the public. Honorable de Blanche?
You skipped me, Honorable Chair.
Was he before you?
I was before, de Blanche. But I was...
My apologies, Honorable Groenewald, and then de Blanche.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I accept your ruling, but I want to make an informative decision on this matter. And it's very important that when we do this investigation, that it is a thorough investigation. Of chairs, Mr. Frolic, to you, where he said that we can continue with the initial combined committee. So if it is possible that we can get a copy of that letter first, I would like to see what he stated in that. The second thing is that from a legal point of view, because if I look at Rule 227 of the National Assembly Rules, it says quite clear that yes, it must deal with both the portfolio committee and other matters falling within its portfolio as are referred to. Now, Chairperson, if we look at the reference, terms of reference, it refers in many cases to the security agencies. Now, my question is, we have a joint select committee on intelligence. The essence of this investigation for me will lie in the intelligence material, whether it was prior to the chaos, was it thoroughly investigated? And my question is, are we not going to be confronted by people that say, listen, this is confidential? Firstly, the intelligence will say that, well, it's not part of the matters falling within the ambit of the Portfolio Committee of Police, therefore there is a Intelligence Committee. And we know that the Intelligence Committee is a closed committee, and this information, I can assure you, those agencies will say it is classified, it is not permissible to give the information. That includes even crime intelligence in police. The Commissioner can say, well, it's classified, and you will first have to declassify it. And I want clarity when we meet next time that we as a committee will have the powers to say we want to be provided by that information. So if we can get that, please, Honorable Chair, I'm not going to waste your time, but that we have clarity when we start this investigation, because we cannot continue, and then we must hear It's classified. There's no use in further investigation. Thank you.
Dr. Groenewald, once more, we do consider what you have said very carefully. And before we continue even adopting the terms of reference, We'll have all the questions which you've raised. Those are very pertinent questions and important questions that we need to bring to the committee before we continue. So even though we've prepared the terms of reference, the, as you said, the legality, all the legal processes have to be in place and have to be absolutely thoroughly looked at. It is the same thing which I said when we had all those different committees. You remember when we had those different committees, I said that we have to move within the ambit of the law. And if we do not do this, this inquiry would just be a waste of time and it would be fruitless expenditure. It would create expectations and we would not be able to meet those expectations. We would be creating more harm than good. We'll be creating more problems than creating solutions. The Intelligence Committee is conducting an inquiry. You are correct. I have brought your first draft to you for consideration and not for adoption. Hence, today, whatever concerns you have and questions you have will be recorded meticulously. I will go through all those requests, all those questions, and I will take it back to the Chief Whip and to the House Chairperson. Remember, I told you the second letter, the first letter was for this joint that I had to consider, and we will send you all these letters that we had to invite, and I read from the letter, other relevant committees in the peace and stability cluster from both houses. Now, if you ask me to bring other relevant committees, it means that I will invite all the relevant committees, which I did. So now, you had the programming committee, which sat after that. You remember in that meeting, we took a resolution to say, I must refer you to the presiding officers. The meeting then happened on the 5th of August, the National Assembly Programming Committee, which is a multi-party committee, and all your political parties were present in the National Assembly Programming Committee. It is that programming committee of Thursday, 5 August, which decided that the Portfolio Committee on Police be informed, not requested, informed to conduct an inquiry into the events, which is include events prior, during, and after the insurrection in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. I agree with you, Honorable Groenewald, that before we conduct this inquiry, we have to set the parameters, the time frames, the terms of reference, and we need to know that everything is above board, that we have followed all the legal procedures, and that those questions you have raised have been responded to. So all members, whatever you raise today, whatever concerns you raise, will be taken up. As you can see, we have a very efficient team. I am working with a team from the side of the administration, the legal team. Advocate Jikela has been allocated to us, and a number of quite capable staff have been committed, allocated to this committee to do its work. After this meeting, we'll be meeting as staff again to take all your inputs and to consider all the inputs you have made. If you bring this, whatever is decided between now and the next meeting, you'll be taken on board in the next meeting. All the documents, as we said in the terms of reference, will be provided to you and will be made public. The next, before I take Honorable Tablanche, could you also consider by when you'd like your comments to be made or your inputs to be submitted? I'll take Honorable Tablanche and then I'll request you to give me a time frame for you to make your submissions. Honorable Tablanche.
Chairperson, thank you. I wanted to raise the very same issues that Honorable Groenewald did, and you really responded in detail now, so I'm not going to waste your time on that. And I was also covered by my friend and colleague, the Honorable Whitfield. Chairperson, the last thing, and I think you also, in a way, also covered that. In our response, that we still need to decide on when it's due, do you expect us at that stage already to maybe name certain individuals that we feel should come answer to this committee? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable de Blanche, we have agreed, firstly, that we have to take all the legal, the ambit of the law and the legal questions into account. So that is the first task this committee is giving me, and I would like it to be recorded that that is what you are requested, and that is a resolution of this meeting. So the first would be that we have to say, if this is part of the responsibility of police, what the intelligence committee is doing, whether we'd be able to declassify classified information, and before we start this inquiry, we need clarity. Are you in agreement to this?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm comfortable with that.
Honourable members,
yes,
that before,
yes,
we start, before we start the inquiry, we need clarity on the legal framework and different perspectives, the committee's powers. Could it so be recorded?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, Chairperson. Let's go.
All right, Honorable Peacock. Honorable, it was the Blanche who proposed the acceptance, and then Shembeni who seconded. Could I then put the second recommendation to this meeting, that you indicate who the stakeholders should be, which would include individuals who would participate either virtually or would give their inputs in writing, that you would indicate this to me? Do I have an approval for that resolution?
Yes,
Chairperson, you do.
Mapatsu approves, seconded. Was it Peacock? Was the seconder Peacock?
Yes, Chair. Yes,
thank you,
I seconded that.
Thank you, Honorable Peacock. And then lastly, that you will give me times for your input. How long would you have for your input? Honorable members, 1 week, 2 weeks?
1 week, maybe, Chair.
Honorable Tablos proposes 1 week. Honorable...
Yeah, 1 week is fine, Chair. I support that.
Right, Honorable Mapatsu, you said, what are you saying? Do you propose 2 weeks?
Yes.
Mapatsu wants 2 weeks. Shembeni seconded 1 week. I have a proposal for 1 week and a seconder for 1 week. And then I have a proposal for 2 weeks, which is Mapatsu, and you have no seconder, Mapatsu.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Peacock.
Based on investigations and thorough engagement, I think we should consider the 2 weeks. So I'm seconding my answer.
All right, I'm not going to divide the meeting. I'm going to give you all sufficient time. Remember, I told you I'm not going to rush this. You can consult. You will receive whenever we have a draft ready for you. If you give your inputs by week one, we'll give you your second draft. If you're still unhappy, you'll have enough time. And please, I am not delaying anything. You are, please do not blame the chair for delaying this process. You are requesting an opportunity to engage with the terms of reference. You have given us the responsibility of inquiring about the legality, the powers of the committee. You have given us a task. We'll continue with the task you've given us and we'll report back to you. If I require an important and urgent report back meeting, I'll call another meeting with your permission. Honorable members, you now do realize that this committee will have to meet more frequently and for longer periods of time. When we do the inquiry...
Yes, Baba, are you looking for me?
Honorable...
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, ma'am. Could you mute, please? All right, so you do accept that you will have to meet for long hours. This could take us into late at night if you want to conduct inquiry. And then, as I said, once we have the legal opinion, we'll be informing you whether the inquiry will go ahead in this format. Any further comments? I'm done with the matter. You have your inputs. You have 2 weeks for your inputs. After a week, I'll give you a progress report. Please read the progress report. I'll send the progress report to you in writing. I'll also send the 2 letters from the house chairperson to you. Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed. Thank you very much. That takes care of the business of the report and the draft terms of reference. We'll consider the draft terms of reference again in 2 weeks' time after your inputs. The next item on the agenda, Pabawa, could you place the agenda on the screen, please? The next item on the agenda is the iPad and the SAPS presentation. You received those presentations, honorable members. Honorable Minister, thank you, Honorable Peacock. Honorable Minister, could you introduce your team and the presentation? And then you can delegate whoever would be doing the presentation. Thank you, Honorable Minister. Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. Thank you, General Sotole. Honorable Minister, the floor is yours.
Thanks very much, Chair. Good afternoon again, together with the honorable members. Honorable Chair, I'll hand over to the Deputy Minister whose responsibility is that this entity reports to him to give us the opening remarks and hand over to the Executive Director of the IPED. If I could be allowed to hand over to the Deputy Minister, Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Chair. With your permission, I think it will suffice that this is a follow-up interaction that we have had with yourself. And if you may, we could allow the Executive Director to lead in the presentation, Chair. Over to you, Executive Director.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, and good afternoon, Chairperson, honorable members, the Minister as well. There's a team that has worked on this presentation. Let me allow the team led by General Ntuye and Mr. Sisoko to then make a presentation. Over to you, colleagues. Thank you.
Greetings to the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, honorable members, our Minister of Police, our Deputy Minister, the National Commissioner, the Executive Director of IPED, Mr. Rapia, the Head of Secretariat, all the DNCs present, the National Head of the DPCI, and all the colleagues in the meeting. Chairperson, I am Lieutenant General Insia, the Divisional Commissioner for Human Resource Management. I'll be taking the chairperson and as well as the committee through the presentation. Chairperson, let me first thank and appreciate the opportunity given to me to present this joint presentation of SAPS as well as IPED, as it was directed by the Portfolio Committee in our last appearance. I'm going to request that whoever is directing the slides to move to the next slide, Chairperson. This slide, Chairperson, just gives an outline of what is sitting in the presentation. It will be the purpose of the presentation, of which I think the Deputy Minister has touched on it. Then background, legislative framework, concerns raised by the PCOP in our last appearance. the remedies and the solutions on the concerns raised by the PCOP, as well as also giving an update in terms of the IPED recommendations with the statistical information. We can move to slide number 4. The purpose of this presentation, Chair, is to give an update to the Portfolio Committee on Police on the status of the implementation of IPED disciplinary regulations referred to the South African Police Service. Slide number 6. On the 21st of May, Chair, 2021, the IPED appeared before the Select Committee on Security and Justice to present the annual performance plan as well as the budget allocation for the financial year 2021-2022. A lack of implementation of disciplinary proceedings by SAPS was noted from the presentation by IPED. And subsequent to that meeting or to that appearance, Chair, the SAPS together with IPED were invited to appear before the Portfolio Committee on Police on the 26th of May 2021. The SAPS was directed to present the status of discipline management in the SAPS, whilst IPED was directed to present the status of complaints received and recommendations for the 2020-2021 financial year. The presentation by the SAPS covered the whole range of disciplinary related matters, which included the IPED recommendations received and the status thereof. The presentation by SAPS and IPED highlighted significant statistical discrepancies, which prompted the PCOP to direct the SAPS and IPED to return to the committee with a single presentation which responds to the committee members' questions and reconciles the conflicting statistics. This is a presentation that we'll be making today, Chairperson. In terms of the next slide, Chair, slide number 8, we have started our presentation by highlighting some of the legislative framework that is regulating the relationship between IPED as well as the South African Police Service. The first one that we are highlighting, Chairperson, is the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. The Constitution provides for legislation to establish the powers and functions of the SAPS, that is Section 2052, in accordance with the mandate of SAPS as set out in Section 2053. The National Commissioner is, in terms of Section 2071 of the Constitution, responsible to control and manage the SAPS. Section 2066 provides for the establishment by national legislation of an independent police complaints body to investigate any alleged misconduct of or offence committed by a member of the SAPS in the province on receipt of a complaint lodged by a provincial executive. Then the South African Police Service Act, I need to correct, Chair, in our presentation we mentioned 1996 is incorrect. It's supposed to read 1995. Our apology, Chair, for that. The SAPS Act is the legislation envisaged by Section 2052 of the Constitution. The Act regulates the establishment and composition of the SAPS, provides for powers, duties, and functions of the SAPS, and empowers the Minister to issue regulations on various matters, including the SAPS disciplinary regulations. In terms of the next slide, Chairperson, we are highlighting the Independent Police Directorate Act. The IPED Act is the legislation envisaged by Section 2066 of the Constitution. The Act inter alia regulates the establishment and composition of IPED, provides for independent oversight of the SAPS and municipal police services, imposes reporting obligations on members of the SAPS and municipal police service, and regulates cooperation between the different entities and authorizes IPED to make disciplinary recommendations in respect of members of SAPS and municipal police service resulting from investigations conducted by IPED. In furtherance to the IPED Act, a memorandum of understanding between SAPS, IPED, and municipal police services was developed to regulate cooperation between the SAPS, IPED, and municipal police services to comply with the IPED Act. The MOU was concluded between the SAPS and IPED in March of 2021 and has been forwarded to municipal police service for signature of the respective city managers. The MOU deals with various matters, Chair, to enhance cooperation between the parties, including matters such as notification of IPED on matters referred to in Section 281A to F of IPED Act, management of crime scenes, requests for information by the relevant parties, management of disciplinary matters and access by IPED investigators to the internal systems of the SAPS, such as the CRIM system, to update dockets that they are investigating. For the purposes of this presentation, the focus will be limited to matters of discipline management. Section 7(6) of the IPIT Act provides that the executive director must ensure that complaints regarding disciplinary matters in which members of the SAPS are involved are referred to the national commissioner or, where appropriate, the relevant provincial commissioner. The national commissioner or the appropriate provincial commissioner to whom recommendations regarding disciplinary matters have been referred will, in terms of Section 30 of the IPIT Act, within 30 days of receipt thereof, initiate disciplinary proceedings in terms of the recommendations made by IPIT, inform the minister in writing and provide a copy thereof to the executive director and the secretariat of police. B, quarterly submit a written report to the minister on the progress made regarding disciplinary matters and provide a copy thereof to the executive director and to the secretariat of police. And lastly, immediately on the finalization of any disciplinary matter, refer to it by the IPIT, inform the minister in writing of the outcome thereof and provide a copy to the executive director and the secretariat of police. In terms of the Labor Relations Act, Chairperson, Section 23(1)(c)(i) of the LRA provides that a collective agreement binds the parties thereto if the agreement regulates terms and conditions of employment. Consultation with organized labor and agreement on essential aspects of the employment relationship are therefore required to ensure that the interests of employees are fairly considered. Discipline is an example of a matter that regulates the terms and conditions of employment. The management of discipline in the SAPS is regulated by a collective agreement, that is CCC Agreement 1 of 2012, and is binding on the parties thereto. The CCC Agreement is the result of negotiations between the SAPS and organized labor on matters relating to discipline, including procedural aspects, that is the conducting of disciplinary hearings, the identification of serious and less serious misconduct, suspensions, etc. As agreed upon in the CCC Agreement, the agreement will come into effect on the date it was promulgated by the Minister of Police as disciplinary regulations. Next slide. Any employment relationship is premised on the principle that an employee is required to comply with the rules and procedures as determined by his or her employer. Rules and procedures determined by any employer guide the conduct of an employee to know what is expected from him or her and the consequences if the employee fails to comply with the rules and procedures, including disciplinary steps. The power to discipline an employee is the responsibility of an employer. An employee is authorized and indeed responsible to ensure that good discipline is maintained in the workplace. This principle is recognized in the Labor Relations Act of 1995. This is integral to the right and duty of an employer to ensure that employees adhere to its rules and procedures. These principles are recognized in the labor law and also relate to the employment relationship of members. The SAPS as an employer is responsible to manage discipline within the organization subject to applicable legislative framework. The last regulatory framework, Chair, that we are highlighting is the South African Police Service Discipline Regulation.
My apologies, Lieutenant General. Could you please switch on your camera? You must please switch on your camera. That's your beautiful face we want to see. Thank you.
Can you see me? Can you see me, Chair? Okay.
Yes, you may continue.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, the next regulation that we are highlighting is our South African Police Service Disciplinary Regulations of 2016. The regulations reflect verbatim the CCC agreement as concluded between the parties. The following provisions as contained in the regulations and negotiated with organized labor should be noted. Regulation 3, which contains the purpose of the regulations and includes to support constructive labor relations in the SAPS, promote mutual respect between the employees and the employer, ensure that supervisors and employees share a common understanding of misconduct and discipline to promote acceptable conduct in terms of the provisions of these regulations, provide a user-friendly framework in the application of discipline, and lastly, to prevent possible arbitrary actions by supervisors towards employees in the event of misconduct. We are also highlighting Chairperson Regulation 4, which set out the principles of the regulations, namely that discipline is a corrective and not a punitive measure. Discipline is a line management function, and the investigation into an alleged misconduct must be done independently and separate from any other investigation. Those are the few frameworks, Chairperson, that we like to highlight to the committee. Now we are moving to the next part of the presentation, Chair, which is highlighting the concerns that were raised by the committee in our last appearance. The following were the concerns and the challenges raised by the committee. The first one was the working relationship between the SAPS and IPET. And the next one, the terms of reference to be concluded and a copy to be shared with the Portfolio Committee of Police. The third one, there were questions raised in terms of our statistical information that was differing between IPET and SAPS. Then the committee also raised an issue of lack of disciplinary action by SAPS on IPET recommendations. The committee also asked questions as to why SAPS is reinvestigating the recommendations submitted by IPET. And the committee was also concerned about the lenient outcomes or sanctions of disciplinary hearings where members will be given a verbal warnings or counseling. In response to the questions or to the concerns raised by the committee, Chairperson, we are having this to respond to those. The first one, in terms of the working relationship between the SAPS and IPET, we are saying the MOU between SAPS and IPET regarding cooperation to comply with the IPET Act has been signed on the 9th of March 2021. The parties to the MOU agree that the purpose of the MOU will be to serve as the recorded, recognized, acceptable manner of interaction between IPET and SAPS in accordance with the IPET Act. The parties agree that the National Commissioner and the Executive Director of IPET will each nominate one representative to serve on a committee to facilitate, monitor, and evaluate the implementation of this MOU. The parties agree that every provincial commissioner and provincial head of IPET or their delegates will meet on a quarterly basis to discuss areas of mutual interest. The status of this MOU, Chair, if you can move to the next slide. The status of this MOU is to serve as a written record of the agreement reached in respect of the identified areas of cooperation. However, this MOU does not and cannot have the binding effect of law. The IPET and SAPS are in full agreement that this MOU, being the result of prior intensive consultation, represents the best workable way of giving effect to the IPET Act. With regard to the initiation of disciplinary proceedings, the parties agree that the responsibility of instituting, where appropriate, disciplinary action on conduct of alleged misconduct is an internal control mechanism to be issued internally by the SAPS. As a result, the SAPS as employer remains responsible to decide on disciplinary steps to be taken in terms of its disciplinary code. IPET's role in monitoring such internal disciplinary action is to be viewed as a way of ensuring transparency and accountability. In terms of the next issue, Chairperson, the issue of the terms of reference that were to be concluded between SAPS and IPET, an interdepartmental committee between SAPS, IPET, and Civilian Secretariat of Police has been established at national level to oversee the effective management and coordination of disciplinary recommendations. The terms of reference have been developed to regulate the functioning of the committee, which are in the final stages of being concluded. I can indicate here, Chair, that the terms of reference are both with SAPS legal department as well as IPET legal department, and they will be finalized soon. In addition, similar committees have been established at provincial level. The committee meets on a monthly basis. The meetings are chaired by the Civilian Secretariat of Police, and one of the objectives of the meeting is to assess the level of implementation of recommendations. The required level of attendance to the meeting at national level is at the level of a director or a brigadier, whilst at provincial level is at the level of a deputy director or a colonel. The next issue that was raised in our last meeting, Chair, was the data discrepancies in terms of the recommendations that were referred to SAPS by IPET. Here, Chairperson, both IPET and SAPS can confirm that a total of 686 negative recommendations were referred to the SAPS in the 2020-2021 financial year. The discrepancy which was noted in the presentation was as a result of the recommendations referred to the members of the respective municipal police services and not members of the SAPS. And in terms of our performance at the time we presented or we appeared before the committee, SAPS indicated that the initiation was 100%, whereas IPET indicated that they recorded 58%. I must indicate, Chair, here that there has been a communication challenge with regard to exchanging of information at provincial level, and this has since been addressed and resolved. The SAP and IPIT concluded that initiations of disciplinary proceedings is now standing at 100%. So the information between SAPs and IPIT is correlating because documents were provided to IPIT to update their records. In terms of the lack of disciplinary actions, action by SAPS, I can indicate, Chair, that all disciplinary recommendations which are received from IPIT are considered and disciplinary proceedings are being initiated as highlighted in the previous slide. Upon receipt of IPIT disciplinary recommendations, the SAPS as an employer initiates disciplinary proceedings by following the procedure of instituting disciplinary steps as contained in the SAPS discipline regulations. If the allegations are of serious nature, the line manager will, in terms of Regulation 8, ensure that investigation is concluded within 30 calendar days and that the employee is informed of the alleged misconduct and pending investigation. In the event that allegations are not serious, the line manager will invoke Regulation 7 by giving employee warnings such as verbal written or final written warnings. Next slide. On the issue of reinvestigation of IPIT recommendations, both the SAPS and IPIT acknowledge that sub-discipline regulations provide that allegations of misconduct against an employee must be investigated in accordance with the sub-discipline code. In accordance with the sub-discipline regulations, Regulation 4M of principles, which these regulations are based on, provides that the investigation into an alleged misconduct must be done independently and separate from any other investigation. Flowing from the above principle, Regulation 628 states that the disciplinary officer designated by the National Commissioner or Provincial Commissioner may, upon a complaint of any person, initiate an investigation concerning alleged misconduct and cause an employee to be charged for misconduct in accordance with these regulations. Further to the above, Regulation 8 provides that a supervisor must ensure that the investigation into the allegations of misconduct is completed within 30 calendar days or as soon as practically possible thereafter. Regulations further provide that an employee must be informed of the alleged misconduct and pending investigations. In terms of lenient sanctions, Chairperson, where warnings, counseling or final written warnings will be provided, we are saying, Chairperson, if the matter is viewed as serious, a chairperson will be appointed in terms of Regulation 11.1 of the sub-discipline regulations to preside at the disciplinary hearing. The chairperson must objectively and unbiased consider the evidence presented before him or her prior to determining whether the employee is guilty of misconduct. The chairperson must consider the aggravating and mitigating circumstances presented before deciding on the appropriate sanction. If the employer is not satisfied with the outcome of the hearing, the matter may be taken on review to the Labor Court. Regulation 6.7 of the Discipline Regulations of 2016 provides a recourse to any interested party in an event he or she is not satisfied with the decision reached by either the supervisor or employer representative. The said interested party may submit a representation to the National Disciplinary Officer providing reasons why the decision must be reversed. So this is a recourse check where interested parties are not happy or satisfied with the outcome of the disciplinary hearings. Now, moving to the statistical information, Chairperson, in terms of the IPIT recommendations submitted to the SAPS, the slides that are going to follow, Chair, they will reflect the total number of recommendations referred to the SAPS in terms of Section 7.6 of the IPIT Act. Furthermore, the presentation will also give the committee an insight in terms of the implementation of the recommendations, the progress and the manner in which the recommendations were finalized. For the period 1st April 2020 to the 31st of March 2021, IPIT recorded 2,173 recommendations. Of those recommendations, 1,487 were positive recommendations and 686 were negative recommendations. I've given an explanation there, Chair, to indicate that positive recommendations here, no study steps have been recommended by IPIT, so there's no action required from the SAPS. In terms of negative recommendations, this is where study steps needs to be initiated by the police. slide number 27 is just giving an indication as to out of the 686 negative recommendations received, how many members were involved. In total is 1,270 members that were involved. And in terms of the ranks of the members, it was one major general, two brigadiers, six colonels, 24 lieutenant colonels, 50 captains, 139 warrant officers, 404 sergeants, and 644 constables, is a total of 1,270. The next slide, Chair, is just giving a reflection of the quotas as well as the province in terms of how many cases were received the first, second, third, and fourth quarter, which the total is 686. The next slide, Chairperson, gives types of offenses in terms of Section 28. Cases that were referred to us were we recorded 4 for death in police custody and 62 deaths as a result of police action, 70 complaints of discharge of an official firearm, 25 rape by a police officer, 4 rape in police custody, 477, which is the highest, torture or assault, 16 corruption cases. There were no systematic corruption related cases recorded in the financial year that we are reporting on. 22 non-compliance with IPED Act and any other offense, there were 6. The total is 686. Then in terms of the initiation of the 686 chair, all the cases were initiated by the South African Police Service, both IPED and SAPS. They have documentary proof to that effect. Slide number 31. We are just giving an account in terms of the 686 cases, how many were finalized. We managed to finalize 550 cases, Chair, and there's also an indication as to per province, how many were finalized per province, as well as how many cases were pending as at the financial year. There were 136. I can also indicate, Chairperson, that the figures have now changed of the total pending because some of the cases were handled in this financial year, and we believe that there will also be, all of them will be finalized before the end of this financial year. The 136 were still pending when we closed the financial year. Then in terms of the outcomes of the 556 cases that were finalized, 22 members left the service, they terminated their services, 179 were found guilty, 99 were found not guilty, 21 cases were withdrawn, 229 cases, there was no prima facie evidence, and gives us a total of 550 cases that were finalized in the SAPS. Of the cases that where members were found guilty, the 179, Chair, 28 of those officials were dismissed, 13 salaries were suspended, 31 received final written warning, 71 received written warning, 17 they received verbal warning, and 19 they received corrective counseling. In total is 179. Then outcome of disciplinary proceedings found guilty per category. We are saying, Chairperson, death in police custody, 1. Death as a result of police action, there were 20. Discharge of an official firearm, 28, and we're also indicating how many were dismissed, how many were salary suspended. Rape by a police officer on duty, 6. Rape of any person while that person is in police custody, 1 was dismissed. Torture or assault, 105, with different sanctions. Corruption, 3, the 3 were dismissed. Any other criminal offense, 1. And non-compliance with the IPED Act, 14, a chairperson also indicating the different types of sanctions that were given to them. Then in terms of the cases that were pending when we closed the financial year, chairperson, the 136, we can indicate that 57 of those cases when we closed the financial year, 57 were under investigation. 29, they were pending the appointment of the functionaries. 43, disciplinary hearing dates were pending. And 7, the disciplinary hearings were in progress. That is the end of our joint presentation, Chairperson. Once again, thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. That brings us to the end of the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Tlaseng. General Sotole, would you like to come in before I hand over to the Minister?
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, firstly, what I can report, our information has been fully reconciled, and after the committee has given us the task, we met, we agreed on the common approach and the shared information. But the only thing I can say is that the MOU is still anticipated to escalate into an action plan, and within the action plan, we are also going to build in a kind of a performance management system so that we can be able to hold each other accountable in terms of the deliverable description. And from there, we can then be able to link it to the other prescriptions. But I think the legislation and the regulation here has been clearly set out, because the legislations that are governing the SAPS processes, they are also based on and linked to the Labor Relations Act. And the Labor Relations Act has been further operationalized into the labor avenues from SSSPC and then right up to the PCSPC. So I think we will need to take that further alignment through the action plan. But for now, I think from our side as SAPS, we are satisfied, and our working cooperation and understanding up to this far with IPIT is fine. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Sithole. Honorable Minister, is the Minister still here? Oh, yes, Honorable Deputy Minister. No, the Minister is still here. Honorable Minister. Honorable Deputy Minister.
No, thanks, Chair. I think the Executive Director did explain the things that the National Commissioner is confirming, because in the last presentation, our presentation were not, we have not been able to present them as we were, hence the committee requested that we should go and integrate them and come and update the committee on the issues that were raised, and this is a product of that process, and we are grateful to the interaction that we have had with the committee. As we always say that we come here and we leave being different, given the input that you gave us and the questions that you raised, it helps us to work better and to improve on our interaction as the South African Police and IPED. So that concludes the issues that we were supposed to come back and update the committee. And once more, Chair, thank you and members of the committee for affording us the opportunity to come and account to the people of South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. And thank you for enhancing the presentation. General Slatseng, I think you have really given us more information today. I'll be taking comments and questions from the members to enhance this presentation. Thank you very much, General Slatseng. General Sithole, thank you very much for your inputs, and we appreciate the work that has been done. I'll take the hands now. I've noted Honorable Shembeni and then Honorable Whitfield. You will be allowed to ask one question, please.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, thank you very much for the presentation. Yes, then I'll have to ask. But this one of mine is concerning the disciplinary steps or remedies and solutions. Regulation 6, subsection 7, that talks about the recourse. How many decisions have been reversed by the SAPS, maybe during the past 5 years? Let me call it not the financial year, the past 5 years. How many decisions that were taken have been reversed? And that is the single question, but at the very same question, how many cases do we have now of people of wanting the decisions to be reversed, meaning those people that have been dismissed and so on? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Whitfield, you have one question.
Thanks, Chairperson. I presume we'll have a second round. I do want a clarity, though, Chair. You are referring to a General Nklatseng, but that's not who did the presentation, as far as I'm aware. In fact, this is a joint presentation which appears to have only been presented by the SAPS, which is really not in the spirit, as I understand it, of the sentiment captured in the presentation and the comments made by the presenter. So if we can get some clarity with respect to the working relationship between SAPS and IPED and who in fact presented the report and whether the report presentation actually concluded. It looked like it stopped before the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Whitfield. I thank Lieutenant General Flatsen and General Satole because they are responsible for these units. Thank you very much, Honorable de Blanche.
And Chair, the Executive Director, not General and that thing.
Oh, she's the Executive Director. My apologies.
Yes.
Honorable de Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, I just want to get clarity. During 2016, new disciplinary regulations were introduced. And, you know, what is quite, what is quite glaring here is that 2016-17 and 2017-18, it really, the most significant decline in the finalization of disciplinary cases and sanctions implemented were in that period. And I just want to know why, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. The next question to Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. I will be short. Let me say that, yes, I take note of the MOU. And as we heard, legally, it still lies with the police. Let's see. They say the proof lies in the eating of the pudding. Let's see in the results after a year. My question, Chairperson, I just want to know, I see that assault and torture is one category. Why is it only one category? I think we should see the assault and the torture as a different category of each. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I do not note any further hands. Could I get an indication who's going to respond?
Yeah, no, thanks, Chair. I think I should indicate for sure some members didn't hear what I said, or maybe they might have missed when the executive director was presenting. We indicated that this is a product of the South African police and IPED. When the presentation was made, the person who introduced the presentation was the executive director of IPED, who then indicated that the presentation will be presented by Mr. Sissoko and from the IPED and General Ntsiye, because these are the two operatives that were working on the document. And General Ntsiye presented. And correctly so, the chair asked the national commissioner to comment, because he was supposed to validate what the executive director has said. And I think probably during the course of presentation, members might have missed when the executive director was presenting and they got the national commissioner, and it creates an impression that it's a subs presentation. It is not a subs presentation. Even if you look in terms of the presentation itself, it has both the logo of SAPS and the Independent Police Investigative Directorate logo at the far right corner of the presentation. So it is a joint presentation. And I think in terms of the specific questions that have been raised, I will ask through you, Chair, if we allow the operatives, and I'll request National Commissioner and Executive Director, if we can allow Mr. Sissoko to be the first to come in, and then others can come and join, so that we demonstrate that this indeed is not a subs presentation, but a joint presentation by the two entities. Through you, Chair. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. The IPET Executive Director and General Sithole will be given opportunities to respond. It was my understanding, carefully, as you have said, Honorable Deputy Minister, that this was a joint presentation. So before you delegate any further, could I allow the Executive Director of IPET to first do her responses, and then we'll delegate that further down. So could I first allow the Executive Director and then the National Commissioner? Executive Director, you may then also indicate who else you would like to give an opportunity to respond. And then
Thank you very much.
The DM has also indicated who should respond.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chairperson. If I look at most of the questions that have been asked here, the first one is around issues around how many decisions have been reversed by SAPS. I think the National Commissioner will be able to assist jointly with the operational team, which consists of the very same General Ntsuye and Mr. Sissoko, were able to do that. But unfortunately, I don't think we have that information currently, because we only prepared on the basis of what has been requested from us. So 5 years, because he requested that we look at 5 years, and I think it will need us to then go back and gather that information before we can present it to the portfolio committee. And then secondly, it's around Member Terblanche about the 2016 new regulations introduced. I would want to hand over to the National Commissioner to respond to that. National Commissioner, over to you.
Executive Director, I hand over to the next speaker, please.
Okay. Sorry, Chair, because I thought we are working jointly on this. And then I'm not going to answer what Member Terblanche has requested, because he asked about the new regulations introduced. And then Member Groenewald requested that we separate torture and assault. It must be done in two different categories. So we have noted that, Chairperson. We'll certainly do that, because our presentation included both torture and assault. So I'm therefore requesting that the Chairperson can then give the National Commissioner the opportunity then.
Thank you very much, Executive Director. General Sithole.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would request that we follow the directional proposal which has been put forward by the Deputy Minister, that we are here to take the first responses, because these are the responses at an operational level. Myself and the Executive Director will come in and close before the Deputy Minister wraps up, if the request is acceded to, Chair.
Agreed. You may continue. Who's coming on next now?
Thank you, General Nsia, Chair.
Thank you, General Nsia.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me start. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, could you please switch on your video?
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, in terms of the first question that was asked by Honorable Shembeni as to how many decisions were reversed in the past 5 years, we do not have the figures with us currently, but I can indicate, Chair, that there are a number of matters that have been referred to the Labour Court for review where the employer is not happy with the sanctions that were provided. And I'm sure our legal services will be in a position to provide that information, Chair, if the committee needs that information. But there are a number of cases that are pending review. Others, the review process has been concluded and the outcomes have been communicated to the SAPS. Then in terms of the next question of that was asked, Chairperson, on the decline on the finalization of cases after we have introduced the new regulations, we need to do that investigation, Chair. We don't have a straight cut answer as to what was the cause of the decline in the finalization of cases. It's something that we need to go deeper as the SAPS and check what might have resulted in this, Chairperson. We'll also get an indication from yourself, Chair, if we need to conduct that investigation and maybe submit a report later on. Then the question on the assault and torture, why is it combined, Chair? It is combined in the IPIT Act, Section 28F of the IPIT Act combines both assault and torture in one, Chairperson. They are not separate. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much to IPIT, SAPS, and IPIT. Who else? Deputy Minister Sisoke.
Thank you, Chair. It's Sisoko from IPIT.
You may continue, Sisoko.
Thank you, Chair. First, let me confirm that this presentation is work of both IPIT and SAPS, and importantly, that the purpose was to deal with the issues that the committee had raised with us, and we then ensured that we deal with those issues. As we have indicated, that the discrepancies related to the information that was outstanding, which SAPS was able to provide to us, which made it possible for us to update our information and be able to reflect the information that indicated that there was 100% initiation of cases by SAPS.
Apologies, could you please switch on your camera? Your video, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'll switch it on. As I've indicated that so we were able then to update the information from our side based on the information that was then provided to us by the SAPS. The issue that has been raised by Honorable Groenewald is noted, and I think it's important. I have in fact already indicated to our program 4 that deals with this information that we start separating the assault and torture cases, even though in terms of Section 28(1)(f) of our Act, these two crimes are combined. But for the purpose of reporting, I agree with the Honorable Groenewald that we should separate them so that the committee and members of the public have a clear view of the distinctions between these two crimes, especially that torture is now a crime of its own with the enactment of the Torture Act. So moving forward, we will definitely make sure that these two crimes are separated in all our presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Soko, Lieutenant General Tsia. DM, would you like to come in or could I go on to the next round of questions?
You can allow members to ask questions, Chair. We can come at the end, yes.
Honorable members, you have another round of questions. Honorable Kim Jane.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is about the offences. I would like to find out from the SAPS on the escape from custody and theft. Now, the scheduling of the offences according to them and the sentencing. So I want a clarity there. Which of the two offences is a serious offence? Theft out of motor vehicle by the police and assisting or abiding in and escaped from lawful custody by the police officer. Which of the two offences is a serious one than the other? And what are the sentences on these two offences? And then thirdly, I want to find out if a person has been acquitted criminally. Now, does that person also found to be dismissed in the SAPS after winning the case criminally? Departmentally, must he be dismissed? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shebedi. Honorable De Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, I am just concerned that apparently the involvement of IPET is not really very much of a deterrent for police brutality. And before I, you know, just explain that, I wonder whether the IPET Act mustn't be revisited again. Because, Chairperson, the reason I'm saying this, you know, between April 2020 and March 2021, IPET had an active caseload of 7,820 assault cases and 665 cases of torture, combined a total of 8,485. In reporting that, only 105 guilty verdicts were reached at the end of this period. It represents, Chairperson, only 1.23% of the total caseload. And only two dismissals represent a 0.02% of the total caseload. Chairperson, I don't know, maybe we can get an explanation. Why is it so very, very low? Apparently, there's very, very little impact from IPET's involvement. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable De Blanche. Honorable Whitfield.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, it would be very important, I think, or interesting for the committee to
Whitfield, receive... your camera, please. Honorable Whitfield.
It is off due to broadband issues, Chair. I don't want to lose connection.
You can continue.
Okay. Thank you. If the IPED could just indicate... or SAPS for that matter, in 2021, there was one guilty verdict in this presentation, I think on slide 34, on death in police custody, for which the sanction was only a written warning. Now, at face value, that looks like completely inadequate consequences for something so serious, even if it was negligence. So if that specific case could just be explained so that members understand how somebody responsible for a death in police custody would receive a written warning and whether that would be considered by both IPED and SAPS as sufficient consequence for such action or inaction. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Whitfield. You may respond. Is it Lieutenant General Sia who's responding now? Mr. Sissoko?
Yeah, I think you can allow either General Sia or Sissoko to respond, Chair, through you.
Thank you. Could we start with Lieutenant General Sia?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me thank the committee's members for their questions, Chair. Starting with the first one that was raised by Honorable Shembeni in terms of between theft out of motor vehicle as well as assisting in escapee,
which of the offense is more serious than the other. To us, Chairperson, both offenses are serious in terms of our disciplinary code regulation 5.4. So they are both serious. Then the next question, Chairperson, in terms of member that is acquitted criminally, maybe I need to indicate to Chairperson that the disciplinary process runs separate from the criminal investigation. The member will be charged internally, the member will go through the processes, and if the member is dismissed from the service, the member will remain dismissed from the service while the member is still running the criminal case. So both the processes, they run parallel, or they run separately, because we are testing two different aspects there, Chairperson. Then in terms of the question that was asked on the written warning, Chair, that was issued to this type of offense of a death in custody, where the honorable member indicated that is very light, even though the offense is very serious. There, Chair, in terms of us fully responding to this question, we'll have to go to the records of the hearing and assess or read what the chairperson, how the chairperson arrived at that sanction. Then we'll be able to respond fully to the honorable member. What is sitting in the records of the chairperson is the one that will assist us, chairperson, if I can repeat, to respond thoroughly to the question of the honorable member. Thank you, chairperson. I'll leave other questions to Mr. Sisoko. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Sisoko.
Thank you, chairperson and honorable members. I think just to take the question on the written warning further is to indicate to the chair and honorable members that in cases of death in custody that we investigate, honorable members must take cognizance of the fact that we investigate the circumstances surrounding the death of a person in police custody. So in most cases, you find that it could be issues of negligence on part of members of the police in how they handled a detained person. You find sometimes we make recommendations for disciplinary action because members had failed to comply with their own standing orders on custody management, like for instance, visiting cells on an hourly basis and so forth. So I'm thinking that those kind of sanctions could have been influenced by those considerations. But General Ntsia is correct that we'd have to go and zoom into that case and see what were the issues that came before the disciplinary and what was the rationale for that kind of a sanction. In relation to the question by Honorable De Blanche, Honorable De Blanche, my response to the issue of deterrence in terms of IPED work in relation to police misconduct would be that I think to a large extent, IPED does have a deterrent effect to the conduct of the SAPS. I think context is also important to understand that the cases that we investigate, in most cases, we investigate cases where there's interaction between the police and members of the public. And in most cases, it will only be a member of the public and the police. So in terms of evidence, sometimes it becomes difficult to get credible evidence that enables us to make a case that could be winnable in court. And that is why you find that the numbers may look the way they do. But it must also be noted that there are also a number of cases that we receive where members of the public, or in fact, in situations where police arrest members of the public and they will do a counter charge against the police. So you also find those kind of cases. The work that we do, I must indicate members that it's a difficult one.
And that also must be recognized. And also the fact that we're dealing with police members who understand the criminal justice system. So it's not an easy investigation. The fact that there are issues of capacity also within IPD does not also assist the situation. So yes, there is always a leeway to improve on the act and look at how it can be strengthened further. There is a process of the IPD Amendment Act, and I'm sure members can interact with that and also assist in that regard. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Do we have further questions? Oh, there's a response from Lieutenant General Khan.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, DM, honorable members, the National Commissioner. Chair, with your permission, I want to respond to the first set of questions asked by the Honorable Shembeni on how many decisions.
So, my apologies, go video, please.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to respond to the question of how many decisions were taken in respect of employees that were dismissed on review in the past 5 years, and how many people are waiting for the dismissals to be reversed. Chair, I want to indicate that I do not have the complete information, but what I can report would be that between 2017-18, members that took us on arbitration for alleged unfair dismissal, there were 57 in favor of the employees, but this needs to be looked at in comparison to the number that took us on arbitration. For 18 and 19, there were 51 in favor of employees in comparison to the unknown number at this point in time of how many took us on arbitration. Lastly, Chair, for 19-20, there were 35 in favor of employees. Chair, this information will be consolidated and forwarded to the Chair in a proper format. Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, do you have any further questions? Honourable members, I'm asking for the last time, do you have any further questions? Thank you very much. Honourable Deputy Minister, you could comment before I close the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. I tried to put this thing here, but I see that I have transformed into yourself, which is not a problem. I thought the face will show, but I'm happy. That's why I was saying that I'm happy with the transformation that has happened with the technology. It must remain like that. I think with regards to the questions, Chair, the members have responded, and on the issue that Mr. Sissoko spoke to about the comment by Honorable Derek Branch, whether they need to strengthen the legislation to regulate more in order to act as a deterrent. I don't think that will address the problem. What we need to do as South Africans is to embark on a program that will completely change the attitude of South Africans to act in a manner that does not, we don't need to be policed. We must strive to create a society that will have the capacity to police itself. When something is wrong, we should know that this can't be done. It's not done. Yes, I agree that it doesn't mean we'll have 100 perfect society. You will have one or two people who will break the law from time to time, but at least if we have a citizenry that is very responsive, that is very responsible, that understand the constitution and the human rights and what is expected of them, we'll have a better society. Policing is not necessarily a solution to the problem that we have. It's a societal attitude that we need to deal with. We should acknowledge and appreciate the legacy of where we come from. Apartheid colonialism created a particular society that is creating these problems that we have bedeviled with now. In the democratic dispensation, we have a responsibility as members of parliament, as a country in general, to contribute towards ensuring that the children that that are born and that grow in this country should have a different attitude, the attitude that most of us have. If you are a grown up to where we are, it's very difficult to can teach us new tricks, because the only thing we know is to be violent and to respond in a manner that is not helpful. IPIP is doing a very good job. And I must say to you, Chair, that the South African Police Service members, they do their work. They are very, very, very much afraid of IPIP, because they know that if they do wrong things, they will be arrested. But this doesn't mean that all police officers are cautious of that. That's why you have this element that we are dealing with today here, where cases have been reported because of the conduct of police. You have incidences where people get arrested, and when they are in the custody of the police, they experience another criminal act done in some instances by members of the South African police, which clearly say that we do have rotten elements within the ranks, but we should continuously engage in a program that will ensure that we rid ourselves of these elements. That is what can be a lasting solution. Further regulation will not be a solution. But we appreciate, Chair, the comment that members have made, the interaction that we have had with you. It makes us better people, and we really appreciate that. I know sometimes we respond in a manner that members don't like. I was listening to you in the morning talking about your visit in KZN, that we took all your 5 hours, and as a result, you didn't have enough time to do your other work. Sometimes such things happen, but they are not intentional. In conclusion, Chair, we have made an observation in your report. I think it's page 8, slide item 7.1, where you are talking about the South African police. You have written South African Police Services, and it is not that. I think, Dr. Kinneth, when you look at that report where you are talking about slide number 8, you will observe that. I think it's line number, the first sentence, but the second line, when you conclude, you wrote South African Police Services, and we think it must be corrected in those minutes to reflect South African Police Service. Those are the comments that I thought I will highlight them, Chair, so that as you conclude, your minutes reflect that. But thanks very much for the opportunity you have given us once more. And I like the transformation that has happened on my camera as I was talking. Thank you very much, Chair.
Tim, you are out of order. So you are going to be called to order by this chairperson. Next time you will not be given a chance to speak. Honorable members, and I'm going to be engaging with the executive director and General Sotole very carefully on this. And I do not respond to media directly with in the portfolio committee. But today I was reading a very, very disturbing article. And I also watched the tapes of a journalist, and please, I'm not going to respond to the journalist, but I'm going to raise my concerns, because the recordings reveal just how easy it is for SAPS employee representatives to override the findings of IPIT with their own opinions. And the evidence that you read in a way supports the colleague's claim to innocence, which assures a not guilty finding during departmental investigations without a full consideration of the evidence. So I want to really get a clearer understanding of the SAPS departmental proceedings. We are going to really interrogate the IPED Act. The amendment of the IPED Act was a concern when we were appointing the executive director. At that stage, we had made certain, this committee had made certain comments about the amendment, which was a legal obligation and which was a ruling by a court of law. So the impetus of these proceedings, I'm concerned that we have to have our investigations in a more open fashion. Is it good that we do these investigations behind closed doors? There's just still too many loopholes and conflicts of interest built into this SAPS discipline management and the regulations. In the interest of transparency, and this government is committed to transparency, integrity, and the professionalism of SAPS, it is imperative and it's important that SAPS discipline management is transparent and that we can all hold the management of SAPS and IPED to account. I'm also going to be doing some written submissions so that when we do deal with the disciplinary system of IPED and SAPS, that we do not just have a report to questions, but we look at the disciplinary system, which has essentially remained unchanged when the ex-panel of experts report admitted that an overhaul was needed to make discipline management more independent and less prone to the conflict of interest and less vulnerable to the loopholes which undo the IPED findings. I'm still not going, and I'm not going to call you, I'm going to write this. Please, Dr. Kinis, I want to formulate a detailed written response to these kinds of loopholes, to the concerns I have about transparency. We have had this matter dealt with in the Portfolio Committee of Police. We are. We have requested you to come back, and before you come back, I think that I'll be submitting a thorough report to you. A number of the questions which our researcher had raised are still matters of concern to me. I'll take those questions which our researcher, Ms. Fancel Host, had sent to us, and I'll engage with Lieutenant General Zia, as well as the Executive Director. I'll also engage with your office, General Sotole, and Mr. Sosoko, I'll also engage with you. Honorable Deputy Minister, thank you very much. I understood that the Minister was here for quite some time, and the members are saying that I'm always protecting the Minister, and I'm making, and I'm apologizing on his behalf. But members, we are having portfolio committee meetings twice a week now. It may continue to having a third meeting when we start the inquiry. For now, as we had said, in a week's time, we'll send you another version of the terms of reference. So if we do not have another terms of reference, please note this very carefully. The first document you will receive would be the legal responses of the legal framework and a response to the questions which were raised by Dr. Groeneval. We have 2 weeks, and I'm not saying that you have 2 weeks to submit your responses and your inputs. Could I have your first set of inputs by the end of this week, for the latest next week, Tuesday, so that we could give you a second draft before we meet again? I'll keep you updated. I'll keep you abreast of what inputs I've received. If I do not receive any inputs from you, I'll then take it for granted that you are happy with the terms of reference as it was presented to you today. Members, you do not have any further questions. You would have noted that I have the meetings to last much longer. I have responses. I'm giving you an opportunity to only ask one question so that you can have the responses. You've complained that we do not give sufficient time, or that I do not give sufficient time for responses as the chairperson. Lastly, General Satole, members have also complained that your presentations are too long and that once you've given your presentations, they do not have sufficient time to ask questions or to receive responses. I've now shortened, I'm very strict about time allocations, and I hope that you will not complain any further because this is what you've required me to do. With that, I think we've completed the business of today. No other questions, no further comments. I declare the meeting over. Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you to General Satole and your team. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, do you still want the staff to remain?
Thank you, Chair.
Now, thank you, Honorable Peacock. Could the staff remain so that we could capture this meeting, please?
As I leave, Chair, the reason why I said my screen just transformed into something is that, you know, they didn't shift you. You remained being the face of the speaker who was speaking, even though my video was on. That's what happened.
DMC, don't apologize. You know that the privilege of the day is.
No, thanks very much.
I understand. I was laughing at you, DMC. Thank you very much. Could the staff please join me? I need the staff. The rest of the members, you could log out. Dr. Kinnis and the staff, I'd need to continue with the staff. Could we ensure that the broadcast is left this meeting? We now need a staff meeting, please.